I have some things to share with you as I begin the message this morning. I'll try to keep it to a minimum. No, I won't. That's just something you try to say to make people happy. Did it make you happy? Well, see, can't make everybody happy. The first church I pastored, I made everybody happy. I really did. I made some of them happy when I got there. The rest I took care of when I left. But they were all happy sooner or later. Works that way. Some will be happy when I start preaching this morning. The rest of you will be happy when I finish preaching this morning. So you're in for happiness somewhere along the way. But there are some things I believe the Lord spoke to me about the house, and I want to say this to you, and I've got them listed. I don't know if they'll be printed on the screen behind me. Maybe they already are, and they're haunting me behind me now. But let me say these. Your provision is to be found at the place of your obedience. If you're wondering where God is and where your finances are, they will be located at the place of your obedience. We cannot rebel against God and expect the blessing of God into our life. If you have a heart's desire that God would do, that will be met at the place of your obedience. I cannot make a decent living doing anything except what I do. It's the purpose of my life. It's the calling on my life. It is my assignment. And as I am obedient to my assignment, my provision is always found. Here are two other sentences, both short. God wants to be found. It's important to know God's not hiding from anyone. God's not trying to keep his will a secret from anyone's life. The other is God wants to be heard. He wants his voice to be heard and to be listened to. I want to also say this to the house this morning. There is a door of hope opened to the hopeless. To those who have been prisoners of hope, there is a door of hope that is opening, and through the release of hope, your needs are going to be met through Christ Jesus. At a point very soon, God will give this house a second upper room experience. And for that, you can rejoice. Another statement God spoke regarding the house is, don't miss your uniqueness. Your strength is not in your similarity to someone else. It's in your difference from someone else. Celebrate your uniqueness. The very important one here is don't let your circumstances define you. It's really important. Don't become so identified with your circumstance that it becomes the defining element of your life. And every time someone looks at you, they see your circumstance and they don't see you. God is in the business continuously of healing hearts. Those this morning with a broken heart, God has come to heal. It's fascinating to know that God is a healer, and that any time our heart is broken, the healer is always present to heal. There is a brokenness that God celebrates, but not a brokenness caused by pain and an enemy that is bent on destroying your life. And the final statement I want to make regarding this particular part of my remarks is, you have already been repositioned. I say that because a few days back I was praying and asking God about the season of repositioning. How many have heard the phrase, we're being repositioned for increase? We're being repositioned for advantage. We're being repositioned for enlargement, expansion, etc. But we've gotten an idea now through this lengthened season of transition or this lengthened season of repositioning. We have the mindset now that we're always in flux and nothing is stable and everything is just shaky and we're just sort of drifting along with no anchor, no foundation. But one day we're going to get to a solid place. God said, I want you to change your exhortation from we are being repositioned to we are already repositioned. That means I have to think from a new perspective. I have to make decisions from a new place. How many decisions would be different if you had $1 million in the bank than your present bank balance? Yeah, you'd make different decisions, wouldn't you? I know I would. This repositioning of God has placed us in a dimension, a paradigm that we can make different decisions and have better outcomes from decisions that we make. But because you have not necessarily changed so much externally and your patterns of life might not have gone through dramatic change, it does not prohibit God from having a shuffling of thinking in your head to see things different, to think different about things, and make decisions that are more advantageous to you and your family. This morning I want to speak on the subject, keys to moving forward. They are three keys, so you'll be able to follow along, and when I get to number two, you can say, thank God he's only got one more. The first one is found in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. We'll read 9 verses to begin with. It's a bit of a lengthy read. As a general rule, I do not read this much scripture at one time in a message. Verse 1, the Bible said, "Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make for yourselves flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time.' So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons at Gibeath-haaraloth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 7, "Their children whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day." One definition of Gilgal is the rolling away. The Bible said in verse 9 that God spoke to Joshua after this rite of circumcision had been completed and said, "I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." By definition, the word reproach means a loss of reputation, shame, or disgrace. I think the important thing that we're going to have to realize in the first key to moving forward is we have to deal with the past. Joshua and Israel had to deal with their yesterdays. The way they dealt with it was they reaffirmed a covenant. One way we can deal with our past today is to get back to the covenant. Because somewhere in the wilderness, Israel lost sight of their purpose and their direction to what God had said to them. They let some things go that were significant to their future. Not too many days back, I was out at Walt Disney World, not to have fun, but to do a wedding. A couple had asked me to go out and do a wedding. It was at a strategic location there, the location of where they had first met, etc. And so goes the story. They asked me that to do premarital counseling. I said, yes, this I'll do over the phone. I knew them both pretty well. And the one thing I said to them is this: in your yesterdays, you have broken covenants and broken vows, and unhealthy soul ties. Everybody does. You're not unique in that. I defined the three of them to those two people. And I said, before your ceremony, we're going to get alone somewhere, and I'm going to pray a prayer that God would wash away the residue, what's left of those soul ties, those broken covenants, and those broken vows. Because when we do a marriage ceremony, we're creating another covenant. And you can't set a new covenant on a rocky foundation and expect it to be a strong, binding agreement. If you set it on the ruins of yesterday's covenant, it's going to go to ruin as well. I said, God can do a quick work in a short amount of time. We met, and in the midst of the lobby of a huge hotel with people going to and fro, we held hands and asked God to wash away the residue of what had been some bad decisions of yesterday. So I say to you this morning, if you want a new beginning, there's no better place to do it than here, and there's no better time to do it than now. But one of the first things we're going to need to do is to wash away the broken covenants, the broken vows, and those soul ties that have been ungodly. Get the residue of those things out of our life and reconnect with a covenant of God that says, I am yours and you are mine and nothing shall ever separate us again. I will not walk away from covenant this time. One way to deal with your past is through the reestablishment of a covenant. The next way to deal with the past I'm going to share with you is a little bit uncommon. Most people would find argument with me on this, but I'll ask you to withhold your judgment until the service is over and then believe whatever you feel in your heart is the truth. But keep in mind that even God doesn't judge a man until he's dead. Just saying. Another way you can move forward besides the reestablishment of a covenant is by forgetting. And please make a note of this. Forgetting that I'm talking about is not amnesia. Forgetting is an unwillingness to hold what happened that was not good into our thinking for future decisions. Someone has once said, when you replay the past, you can poison the present. Forgetting, I like to think of as a weapon. I think forgetting is a weapon that God gives us. Marriages that are in trouble can stay together if somebody forgives and forgets. You say, well, forgetting, you just can't do that. That's just impossible to do. How many believe we're created in the image of God? Our best example of forgetting comes from God Himself. I put your sins in a sea of forgetfulness. In other words, there is a way whereby I don't have amnesia. I know they're there, but I refuse to drag them back into your today and lay them to your charge again. It's just over. It's just done with. So forgetting becomes a weapon in the hands of the child of God to say, I'm going to take care of my past by reestablishing a covenant and forgetting things that I need to forget. Now, you can retrieve the memory without the pain. Well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. Here's how you do that. You learn to retrieve the memory of past injustices without the pain by displacing the pain with something more powerful and more significant than the pain. It's something that just shoves the pain out. You displace pain by embracing your purpose. Your purpose is stronger than your pain. Your purpose is more important than your pain. The purpose of God in my life is I've had things happen in my yesterdays. I've had things I thought were betrayals. You know me by a sweet and meek and mild man who probably never gets upset. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But I get angry sometimes. I've made bad decisions sometimes. It would be easy to let those things creep in and abort an assignment of ministry that God has on my life. But I have to somehow forget those things, because the only way I can function knowing what's happened is to embrace my purpose, which is larger than my discomfort and my pain, and it's more powerful than anything I've been through and anything I'm going to. This purpose that God has for me stands ever as a monument to God's intent for my being. He knows my pain, but I also understand His intent for my life. And some this morning whose lives may be in such shambles, it's even difficult to remember your purpose, define your purpose, locate it, or in any way celebrate it. How is something I cannot locate going to drive out something that's ever present? Much of it has to do with the first point we made, which is reestablishing a covenant with God. To remember that He's a very present help in time of trouble. Forgetting is a weapon that wins battles. Forgetting keeps people together. Forgetting is a weapon that the enemy dreads for you to use. Because when you use the weapon of forgetting, he's in trouble. And as I said earlier, God uses the weapon of forgetting just to get us into His family and to keep us there. Let's look at key number two. Verse 10, while the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. We not only have to deal with the past, but it's time we trusted for the present. Trusting God is a great Christianese statement. But when you're forced into a position of complete trust in Him in real life, late on a Thursday afternoon, sometimes it's tough to trust. But I want to remind you that the dominant seed for change is desire. Somewhere deep in your soul, there are desires for God. You might call them wishes, hopes, dreams. We can go to any extreme, any place, and find some of those things in our life, but desires are more motivating than our need. I might need to rest. But the hearing of a sale at Sears strikes at my desire. So my desire for a sale overpowers my need for rest. So many times your desires overrule the need. So desire becomes a catalyst for change. My wife is a beautiful example of that. Some days it's hard to walk. Until she gets in the sale or in the mail a little sale card from JCPenney's. And all I gotta do is just say in the name of Jesus and hand that to her, and she comes to new life. I'm a little concerned of whether it's the sale or the name of Jesus. But regardless, the results are excellent. She can get up. Oh, she doesn't walk any faster. She's just willing to go there. And, of course, I have to be willing to take her there because that part of our license I thought would expire after about 20 years, but nah, some of that stuff is lifetime guaranteed business. So be careful when you marry. Forever is a long time. Just saying. I know our secret is safe among us. Your desire is found in what you're willing to pursue. What are you willing to reach for? I can tell you your desires when you tell me your dream. I can tell you your desires when you give me your relationships and associations. Who do you hang out with? Well, I know, but they're just kind of my friends, and I know this, and I need to have a break from this and get over here with my friends, just chill out and just relax. Sometimes those desires to be with friends can replace the purpose of God in our life. And we have to trust God for our purpose in life and not trust our friends and our associations. I'm sure the mic went dead there. Israel also had a change in their spiritual diet. Their food changed. They ate the new food of the land. The baby food left when they started becoming accountable for where God was going to lead them. I submit you are going to have some new revelation. God is birthing fresh revelation. But keep in mind this. I had a discussion one time with an older minister on whether it was better to say never forget or always remember. His contention was always remember because it's positive, opposed to never forget. Now, you'll have to sort that out from what I said first about forgetting. But whether you want to say never forget or whether you want to always remember, you have been repositioned. Expect outcomes to be different now. Anybody get tired of the same outcomes or the same no outcomes? Yeah, they got a few more hands. Yeah, we get weary of that. What's changed? Our spiritual position has changed. The end of a season has come about, and we are repositioned, and we have that benefit now of increase. And though things may look the same, seem the same, act the same, they're not the same, because internally there is a shift in mechanism and DNA that says outcomes are manifesting now that did not manifest before. So don't be afraid to ask and keep on asking. Not only dealing with the past and trusting for the present, but finally, it's point number three. It's the one we've been looking for. We must submit to the future. Verse 13 says, now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather I indeed come now as the captain of the Lord's host or host of the Lord. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did. We have to submit to the future. We deal with the past, we trust for the present, and we submit for the future. God has a plan for our future. It's a good plan. I thought about this the other day when I was preparing for this service. God's never confused. I'm often confused. But God's never confused. He always has it in proper place, knows what He's doing, and God's plan always requires a total focus from our lives. We have to intentionally walk with God. We don't just accidentally stumble on it. Here's how we protect our focus. If focus is important, and that's how we're going to go to the future, that's how we're going to trust God, that's how and why we're going to submit to God for the future, is we have to know what protects our focus. Know that broken focus will destroy your dreams. Take personal responsibility. I have a thing I may read tonight about the real world rules. And one of those is this. To young people, your mom and dad used to be cool. They stopped being cool when they had to start picking up after you and dealing with your shenanigans all day and all night. And if you want them to be cool again, then start cleaning your closet and your room, and they will become cool again. That's just one of the real world rules, and it was paraphrased. But we have to take responsibility for some things. Have you ever been around anybody that never took responsibility, always blamed somebody else? It was always somebody else's fault. Raise your hand. Don't look at them. Just raise your hand. Yeah, we've all been there, done that. We control what enters our ears. We maintain praise around us, and we starve wrong relationships. Starve them in Jesus' name. Now, if our musicians could come back and our singers, I'll wrap this up in the next few moments. You didn't think I could do it before noon, did you? I'm not finished yet. Yeah, it would be different if I knew this were the only service I would be with you, but I'll be back tonight. Come sleet, snow, or ice, or sunshine. Here's some things I want to share with you, as I've given you three keys to moving forward. One is deal with your past. Don't just ignore it. Deal with it. You can deal with it by forgetting some things and embracing your purpose. And you can deal with your past by reconnecting to the covenant of God that's been severed or damaged in some way. You can trust for the present. That's another way to deal with moving forward. And when you trust for the present, you do that by adjusting relationships and desires. Well, there has to be some decision making. Some changes have to come in life. And every time we make a favorable change, there's a better outcome. And then we submit to the future. And we do that by total focus on the plan of God. So by focusing, adjusting some relationships and desires, and reconnecting with the covenant, life can be good again. That's just how it goes. But here's what I want to say before I give an invitation to you to take action steps on those three ideas or thoughts. Regardless of how old you are or what your position in life is or even what your financial status is this morning, I want to dare you to dream again. Some of you are on a treadmill that's going 90 miles an hour and you can't find the off key. And it's all you can do to stay connected. I understand that. I finally went back to the treadmill a few weeks ago to take care of some issues that had shown up in my body as a result of a fall down a flight of stairs. At 69 years old, your body doesn't heal quite as quickly as it did at 29. I found that out. So first day on the treadmill, I'm creeping along at a healthy 1.5 miles per hour. A little faster than that, but it's none of your business how slow it was. And my daughter was standing there talking to me about the importance of just doing what you can just to get started. Just move and take baby steps. Don't try to overdo it. There are other days that you will do far better and more, but just stay with what you can do now. And about the time she said that, something happened to the treadmill and it kicked into a higher gear. At that moment of chaos, I could not remember that I had taken a key and put it in to start it. And she just took a swipe and dislodged the key and the thing stopped. Had she not been there, it would have been a photo opportunity for a lot of people, Instagram and Facebook. It would have been quite the picture. But can I tell you today, if your treadmill has accelerated speed beyond your ability to keep up, the anointing who's here on assignment is ready to take a swipe at the key to that treadmill and shut it down so you can make better decisions. You can deal with the past. You can, oh yeah, trust for the present. And you can submit for the future. It's your choice. Some may live in an area that we in church called lost and without God. Others may live in a place of just, I've made some tough decisions, they've not turned out right, and my world is spiraling out of control and I don't know how to deal with it. And others may be living in a place where you've done everything just right and still chaos shows up every once in a while. But regardless of the situation, there is an anointing in the room that can break a yoke and lift a burden. And whether it's the yoke that's got you strapped in and you can't function with that, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said his yoke was easy. His burden was light. So if the heavy burden and the chafing yoke is on you, the anointing came to break and lift. Because that's his assignment. Would you stand with me this morning? I would like the prayer team to come and reposition yourself at the front of the building, please. Tried to take some time this morning and methodically walk through three steps that I think are very important. I think sometimes in the quest for revelation from the Scripture, deeper thoughts and phrasing ways that others have never phrased them before or we've not heard before, we look for such uniqueness that we step over some basic principles that can save our life. So this morning, no great theological stuff, because that's way above my pay grade. I don't know that stuff. Once in a while, I come up with a nuance that I've not heard before, and I get to share it, and it blesses some people, and it serves as a point of remembrance. But this morning, it's about dealing with stuff, trusting, and submitting. That's about as basic a Christianity as you can get. Deal with some things. Trust for right now. And submit for the future. That's my three steps to moving forward. If you don't deal with the past, you're never going to move forward. I know people that in certain areas of their life, a tragedy happened when they were in their 20s, and they may be 60 now, but that part of their life is locked into 20, and they can't move emotionally beyond 20. I know a man who, when he was 21 years old, went through a divorce, devastated him, lost everything. And since that time, his whole life has matured, grown, developed, evolved, and been much that pleases God. But when it comes to relationships, he looks for 22, 21, 20. And people get a whole idea about that that's just inappropriate. But for him, he's locked into something that was painful and can't get away from it. It doesn't cover all his life. It just covers one part. But that one part is devastated. So it doesn't mean this morning that your whole life is out of whack. Maybe there's just one area that you repeatedly struggle with, and it's hard to get a grip on and hard to move forward from. I know people that have gone through divorces when their kids were 12, 13 years old. 10 years later, their kids are 23, 24 years old. But they see them, treat them, and talk to them like they were 13 because there was a disconnect. Where in your life have you failed to grow? That's the area I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about dealing with that area from yesterday's pain. I'm talking about trusting God for that area to be healed today. And even saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get to the future this way, but I submit to you to be my guide to get me there. I promise you this morning, God will do what he said he would do in his word. If there is a fragmented part of your life this morning that needs to move forward, in just a moment, I'm going to ask these folks to sing a song of their choosing. And when they sing, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to come too. And when you step in front of one of these precious, mature saints of God, tell them, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And they're more than capable, more than willing, more than able. This is the safest place you'll ever find to open your heart to Jesus and say, I'm ready for some changes in my entire life. Sometimes I think if I had a person in Florida that was unsaved, I'd buy them an airline ticket and send them here to get saved. God can do it in Florida. Yeah, but this is such a safe environment. I don't know anybody in this room that thinks they're better than anybody else. We've all got stuff. I've told you before, I did not go into the parts of sin that many go. Did not make me a clean sinner. I was still unsaved. I had things in my closet I wouldn't want the world to see. Just like probably before you were saved, you had things in your closet you certainly wouldn't want the world to see. But I even took it one step beyond. I've got stuff in my closet since I've been saved I don't want you to know about. Because the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, it doesn't make us bad people. It just makes us people that need to move forward in some areas of our life. We need to come reconnect on some covenants. And we need to trust Him for today and submit to the future. How many has a need in your life for God to heal a fragmented part of your life this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, we're going to sing. And I want you to step from where you're standing immediately. Do not wait on anyone else. In fact, you can start coming now and find a place of peace and healing at the front of this building. This is your time.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name.
Hallelujah.
Sings like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawn. It's time to sing Your song.
Still places where you can go.
Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my
bless
soul.
The Lord, my soul.
Oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Hallelujah.
Worship Your holy name. draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years is and forevermore. Yes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sings like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God has met and is meeting needs in the front of this room today. I believe he's also meeting needs out there where you're standing. It's not just in one place. He's an omnipresent God. He can do something at any place, at any time, any way. God is good. His mercy endures forever. And although there are some that are still praying, please respect that. I will say a prayer that will dismiss the congregation to go on home. They've asked me to close the service today. I know things don't flow as they do when Pastors Ronnie and Kim are here, but they're flowing the best way we can do. And we know that God is going to make up any difference that's lacking. We love them. Folks, you've got great, great pastors. Love you with all their heart. You are their assignment, and they're faithfully discharging their duties. Pray for them. Love them. Treat them well. They're just great people. I know pastors that would talk to me and have harsh things to say about their church people. But never have I heard that from Ronnie and Kim Holmes. They hold you in the highest esteem in any battle that you face. They count it as a struggle they're in with you. And they're committed to end that struggle and walk with you through the entire thing. That's their character. That's who they are. So on Sunday when they come back,